All of a sudden, the Lord speaks to you, and it's different because it's discerning who you are, where you are, and is actually showing up in the areas of your life that you desperately need to hear for instruction, for correction, for moving on with life. And the meaning of God's word is such that it becomes yours, and you begin to walk the truth, you begin to live the truth, because it has been applied to your life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, February 26, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Truth Will Set You Free. Our text comes to us from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
When I became a Christian and a concerned Christian, and I was already here in the States, and I already had known the Lord, but when I wanted to get deep into the things of the Lord, someone talked to me at the church about a group people call the Mariners. And they have a tremendous program that deals with scripture memorization, and it talks to you a little bit about what it means to be a Christian. At a very young age, I saw this little booklet, and it had some blanks in it that you had to fill out. I still have that book. I don't throw anything away. Just, if you don't believe me, talk to my wife. Okay. The boxes and boxes of things that I keep, I just won't let go. You know, I never see them, but I got them there. You know, but I have that little book there, and one of the classic texts that from the first lesson on that I had to memorize was John 1:12, and to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the power or the ability to become the children of God. And I thought that's one of those great texts of the Bible, isn't it? To those who believe. There were other texts that I learned through that beautiful course. And another one was, of course, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And there are some texts in the Bible that are just unbelievably powerful and poignant, and they stay in the life of the church for a reason. It's because they're very eventful in our lives, because we have experienced them in one way or the other. Some of us teach or preach or think in texts that are a little bit obscure, but there's nothing like the texts that are clear and that are understood, and we want to hear them over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, my favorite is, of course, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, it's in great moments of need, those texts come to mind. And Psalm 23 is one of my favorite, of course. And all through life, you know, there are some passages of Scripture that speak to you in different ways at different times. It's the same word, but they find us in a different situation in life, and it addresses the issues that we go through. A couple of weeks ago, when I was here, we spoke about the parable of Christ. Christ that spoke about the sower that went out to seed, and we addressed how the Word of God reaches us, and the Word is very good, very strong, very pure, but it has to reach the proper soil context for it to have life and to develop. And we talked about that. So we have the teachings of Jesus through parables. We also have the wonderful experiences of, like, the prodigal son and the lost coin. And I mean, the Scriptures are filled with memorable accounts of life. And so today, I thought I would take one that we all know, but it merits for us to review. I preached on this before, so it goes here for the second time. Not exactly the same, but, you know, it's like this. You know, I speak on Sunday morning, and if I were to ask anybody, what did I speak on Tuesday or Wednesday, you would have a hard time remembering. And it's okay. I don't take that personal. It's the way it is. We're constructed that way. We're very visual, and I'm not a visual person. I'm not. You know, a lot of pastors, they have PowerPoints and they have movies and they have this and they have that. They have smoke coming out here and smoke coming out there. You know, dancing bailarinas behind them, you know. I'm not made up that way. It's different. It's different, you know. We all have ways of communicating the truth. So my text this morning for you is one of those well-known texts, John 8, 31 and 32. And it's a text that all of us will know and all of us will be able to relate to. It says, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many have heard that before? Amen. So we're experiencing throughout the country a revival. I don't know if you've heard or not. It's been on television and Asbury Revival and the seminary in Asbury in Kentucky, and it spread through different campuses, and people are spontaneously worshiping and repenting and asking God to bless our lives, and thousands of people are coming to a greater understanding of the gospel of Jesus. It's sweeping the nation. Wilma asked the question, anything in California yet? I said, not yet. But we pray that there will be this moving of God. And a couple of pastors got on television, and they were saying in the news that they're going to be present so that they can help the group of people that are coming, and most of them are high schoolers and first, second year students in college, to develop a concept of discipleship, that we come to know Christ and then we follow him. And so today, in many parts of the United States, they're addressing the discipleship. So this is why I got to John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you remain in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is one of the best statements about what discipleship is all about. Because it's not just to believe. There's a whole process behind belief. But discipleship begins with belief. That's where it begins. And it's the moment that Christ comes into your heart that you say everything Jesus says is true. And there's this belief to accept Jesus' word as being true. All that he says about the love of God, all that he says about the terror, the horrible consequences of sin, and all that he says about the real meaning of life. You and I, as believers, we must believe that everything Jesus says is true. That's the beginning of discipleship. We begin with belief in the words of Jesus. We ask questions, but we don't question in a negative way. We just want to know more of what Christ has to say. But it also means something else. Discipleship means that you remain in the words of Jesus. You remain constantly in the words that Jesus says. And to remain in the words of Jesus means at least four things. Not because it's a four-square church, but because it came out to be four things. Yeah. The first thing is that you and I learn how to listen to the word of God. The words of Jesus is something that we simply constantly listen to. What is Jesus saying to me today? Christians are people who all their lives listen to the voice of Jesus. Jesus speaks to you, and then you make a decision. Because it is only from the voice of Jesus that you will make a decision on any issue. You first hear him, and then you move on. Do you pause? Do you take time in your daily living and struggle to listen to the voice of Jesus? Say, Lord Jesus, What are you saying to me? Listening to the words of Jesus, they really come through reading the Word. They really do. The more you read the Word of God, the more apt you become to fine-tune the voice of God to your heart. And if you're not listening, or you think you're not capable of listening to the Word of God, you must go to the Word to read. Because the more that you read the Word, the more that His voice becomes clearer to you. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. It happens that you give yourself to listening to the Word of Jesus, and Jesus helps you make decisions. And sometimes you don't even know how He helped you to make the decision. But He gives you the ability to make decisions, because a true disciple listens to the Word of Jesus. Listens to it. Pays attention. And before you do something, you consult with the Lord and say, Lord, what will you have me do about my job? About my family? About my neighbors? About this situation? About my health? Jesus, what are you saying to me? And Jesus will speak to you. He will speak it to your soul, to your heart. So that leads us to another component, which will be a third component. First, you remain in the Word by listening to the Lord. Then you need to learn from Him. You learn from the Lord. Have you ever had to repeat a grade in school? Don't confess, please. Don't confess. But sometimes you go to school and you don't do well, you have to repeat the grade. Nowadays, of course, they would call that a horrific persecution and unjust. And now they promote everybody because they don't want you to feel bad. But in the days where I was growing up, you didn't make the grade, you had to redo the grade. I had to redo classes, not the grade. Sometimes I had to retake the test until I got it right. Well, learning from Jesus requires that you learn from Him. So it's not just saying, hey, I'm a disciple. You learn from Jesus Christ. And throughout our lives, we learn more and more about Jesus and what Jesus really means. The shut mind is the end of discipleship. You can never say, I already know enough. You cannot. For there's always a challenge. There's always an issue. There's always a new resolve. There's always a twist in your life and in my life. And you and I need to listen to the Word of the Lord. And then we need to learn from the Word of the Lord. We need to hear what He has to say, because He's saying something that's causing us to learn the lesson. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of my own personal experience, but you don't advance with the Lord unless you learn the lesson. If you're in third grade and you're flunking third grade, you've got to keep on flunking third grade. He doesn't just do social promotion like they used to call it, because it's for your own good. You must learn from Jesus. It also means that you penetrate, you dive into, you develop a hunger to meditate in the Word. The words of Jesus are not to be taken lightly. They're not to be taken lightly. You hear Him once, but you still got to hear Him twice. Because I want you to know that the full meaning of the words of Jesus do not come alive the first time you read Him or the first time you hear Him. You have to keep listening. Because, I mean, I can read John 3:16 and I see something new every time I read it. It's amazing. And that's the difference between a good book and a bad book, by the way. It's the difference. Let me go to your generation. It's the difference between a good movie and a bad movie. There are some movies that I like to see over and over and over. My darling wife likes to see The Sound of Music. Like, I think her and Jen, I've seen that like 25 times. After the second time, I had my full. I sing to the, you know, whatever, with Julie Andrews. Oh, I know that very well. Oh, yeah. But that, because it fascinates her. It's just something she likes. And a good book, you can read it once and twice, and if it's good, you can read it a third time. You can see the movie over and over, because they have great themes, and they address the issues of life. The words of Jesus, demands a constant study and to think what he says, because every time you read his words, it has a twist. It actually, you see, they say this, theological groups, and it's true, that you really never understand the word understands you. All of a sudden, the Lord speaks to you, and it's different because it's discerning who you are, where you are, and is actually showing up in the areas of your life that you desperately need to hear for instruction, for correction, for moving on with life. And the meaning of God's word is such that it becomes yours, and you begin to walk the truth. You begin to live the truth because it has been applied to your life. So it's meditating in the word. It means penetrating into the truth. It means God's word becomes the Son of God in you. But there's a fourth one. If the first one we said is that you need to listen to the word, the second one, you need to learn from Jesus. The third one, you need to meditate in the word. There's a fourth one. And this is possibly the most difficult thing to do, but the four of them, and as I mentioned, the four of them are difficult. They have their own challenges, but the fourth one, it means constant obedience to what he says. I know great academicians, people who know the text so well, supposedly, and they do. And they know the original languages, and they have a philosophical background that is just amazing. And there's a level of academic satisfaction that comes. And others, just for intellectual appreciation, they can talk to you about this and that and the other, and it's wonderful. But the real key is not so much to know the grammar and to know the construction of that text. It's very important, but in reality, when you go to the Word, we need to find out what God wants us to do with it. So we read the Word to obey the word. The disciple is a learner who learns in order to do. There's action behind whatever you learn from God's word. Did you know that Jesus Christ, that Jesus brought, the truth that Jesus brought was designed for action? It was not just for you to think about it or to say, what a great thought. It deals with much more than that. It deals with the issue of putting it into action in your life. That's so uncomfortable for some of us, because we have a body of knowledge of God's word, but we don't necessarily have a repertoire of obedience to the knowledge that we have of God's word. And we as God's people, we as sheep of his pasture, we need to be able to drink and eat the word, but for that to happen and for it to have a digestive value and nutrient to our life, we must do it. We must put it into action. I wonder what are some of the actions that the Lord would want you to do when he says you love your neighbor as yourself. I wonder what do you do when he says to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. How do you do that? Well, you have to pursue that. You have to find ways in which you accomplish small steps, small baby steps, but you do everything like that. And that's how you obey the words of Jesus. Yeah, obeying the words of Jesus, to say yes to Jesus, to what he says to you, what he says to me, is the key to discipleship. And of course, it also, discipleship has issues in the knowledge of truth. In other words, to learn the truth, he says, you will know the truth. You will know the truth about everything. When you learn from Jesus, you will know the truth. And what is the truth? Greatest question everybody could ask. And so many different ways of answering what is the truth. But I just want you to know that from my perspective, the truth is what Jesus brings about life. It's what Jesus is saying to you about life. What Jesus is saying to you about your values. What Jesus is saying to you about the way you should act, the things that you should do. I think the fundamental questions like, to what should I give my life to? Now, there's only one life that you have. To whom do you give that life to? Do you give it to a career? Nothing wrong with that, but is that your objective in life? How about making money? We all like to make money, and the government likes to take it. Just got a bill the other day from the gas. I think all of us are victims of that, you know. I think I'm going to move to Arizona. Anyway, the gas is going up, but they don't tell you why. I thought it already gone up. It's going up again. So fortune, just getting money, it's not going to do it. What about just pleasure that comes and goes? Or would you give your life to the service of God, whatever that may be? Lord, I need direction in my life, you say. I want to serve you, Lord. And the Lord will show you how to serve. In small steps to serve. And the scripture says that whatever we do for the glory of God. So the truth is that in Jesus, in the truth of Jesus, we see the things that are really important and the things that are not important. And to serve the Lord is the most absolute crucial aspect of discipleship. So we're looking at discipleship, and we're looking at you will know the truth, and your truth will set you free. So what are the results of freedom? What are the results of freedom in your life and in my life? When discipleship in reality results in freedom, it says, we will be free. And there are four freedoms that come to your life and my life when we know the truth, four of them. And that's about the end of my message. This is a short message this morning. But how important is this? First of all, it brings freedom from fear. Did you know you never have to walk alone again? Forever you walk in the company of Jesus. No matter what you and I face in life, you will be free from fear. All the adversaries of your life can come at you, but you are never alone. And things that we face today are quite a number of obstacles. Financial issues, physical issues, emotional issues, family issues, money issues. I already mentioned that. So when Christ is with you, when all of a sudden you serve the Lord, there's a level of freedom that you're not going to fear what the enemy will do, because the Lord is with you and he will never leave you and he will never abandon you. Had for the first time in my life, actually last week, I had a funeral that I could not attend. I was not well, couldn't do it. And this gentleman had come to our church, Beverly Boulevard, in the days of Pastor Ash. He was a young man. And he gave his heart to the Lord, and then they moved outside of the area. They kept going to different churches, and in his late 50s, he was sick with cancer, and it became brain cancer. And he lost his ability to communicate, and that's when I got a call saying, this person, Christopher, is dying in the hospital. I never knew who Christopher was, he was here before my time. But I went to see him at the hospital, and he couldn't speak, so I could never hear his voice. And yet I said, I cannot hear your voice, but I believe that you can hear a voice from heaven who says, blessed are those who rest in the Lord. And there's something about knowing what God will do in moments of great tragedy that takes away the fear that the world has. I said, soon you will be totally delivered in the presence of the Lord, and you will rejoice with all the brothers and sisters that are there. Freedom from fear and death, they tell us, is the worst thing that can happen to you. Well, for the Christian, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And ultimately, everything that's been said against you is the threat of death. And yet, he conquered death. Therefore, you don't have to worry. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. But there's another fear that we need to embrace. That is to say, we need to shake. And this is going to be a tough one on all of you. So I see you and those people on camera out there in line, online. And it brings freedom from self. I think the greatest handicap I have is myself. The greatest handicap is me. You. Me. Because how many times have we tried to change? And we fail. How many times we try to, and yet it's impossible. But here's the thing. You cannot do it. But Christ can. Amen. And so he's saying to you and to me that he is already changing you. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a process of evolution inside of your heart in life where you are changing. You're not yet perfect. Paul says, hey, I've not reached it, but I do one thing, forget what is behind, and I move forward towards the prize of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we go up and we go down and we're so hard on ourselves. But self is taken care of by God. You no longer have to worry about trying to polish self because you can't. But the life that you live, your life, you live the life and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the issues that you see yourself as being handicapped, all the issues that you see around you that are not good, say, Lord, you died for that too. And I give that to you in Jesus' name. A great writer of devotionals, he did so much for the work of God, and yet he suffered with temptation in his life. And he had this need to be free from that temptation that came at him all the time. Excuse me. And so he came to the Lord, and every day he surrendered that temptation and said, Lord, I can't help it, but you can in Jesus' name. And he lived that life, and not once did he fall in temptation. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, free from fear of things that happen to you. You'll never walk alone. The Lord is with you, and free from self and the condemning self. Mi culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. The presence of Jesus recreates you, my brother, my sister, until we're all together new in his presence. And all of a sudden, the bad words that you used to say and the filthy mind that you had and the habits that are no good, all of a sudden, they begin to change because you're spending time with Jesus and the truth is setting you free from yourself itself. It's one more freedom, two more freedoms, and that's freedom from other people. Freedom from other people. You know, there's so many of you that are afraid or dominated by what other people think of you. the fear of what other people may think and say about you. And that slows you down in life. Some people say that the voice of our neighbors sounds louder in the ears, in our ears, than the voice of God. If you could only hear God's voice over the voice and the opinion of your neighbors, your whole life would change. And yet often we are dominated by what other people think about us. And we forget that the only thing that matters is what God thinks about you. It's easy to say it, but people are governed by the opinions of others. And I'm saying to you this wonderful Sunday morning, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from other people and what they say about you. Amen. I live before the audience of one, and that's the Lord. Because it's what he says that counts. I'm sure you have your best intentions, and I'm sure you like to correct me many ways. And you're probably right, but I really don't care. Because I will stand not before you, but before the Lord. Is that audience of one that makes all the difference in our lives. Stop thinking about what other people think about you and start thinking what God says about you. And you will find that God loves you and that God embraces you and that God forgives you. And all the songs that we sang today, the choruses that we sang today, allude to that one fact, that we were in the midst of sin and yet God lifts us up. And if God lifts you up, who can put you down? Yeah. The people around you. And you pay too much attention to what they say. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's one more, and then I need to end. And it brings freedom from fear, from self, from other people, and lastly, from sin. You know the answer to your sinning issues? Get into the Word. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. None of us are free from being tempted to do that which is wrong. But we are also free to go into the Word and let the Word find itself lodged in our heart so that it would prevent us from falling into sin. Temptation is something that we all go through. Even Jesus went through temptation. And some people say, well, Jesus was tempted. Yeah, but he did not fall into temptation. And the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation. And the Lord says, don't let anybody say that God leads you into temptation, because, you know, all those things come from inside of your heart, James says. So when those things come up in your heart, all of a sudden, you know, revisiting your past life, taking a tour, all of a sudden you need to bring into God's Word. I need to go and seclude yourself, go somewhere, go to the Scriptures, begin to read the Scriptures, and the Word of God will wash it away. It's the washing of your brain. It's done through the reading of the Word, the meditating of the Word. There's nothing more important for you to do than in moments of temptation, you go to the Word. And I don't care if you read a genealogy. I don't care what part of God's Word you read. You go into God's Word, and as you read it, the Lord will bring you peace, will lift up that barrier, and the temptation will cease. And you'll be victorious. You shall know the truth, and you shall be, what? Free. Freedom from sin. There's stages in our lives that we go through, and sometimes you can't break away from them, and you really can't unless you call on God in your life. You call on the Lord on your life, and this discipleship we're talking about breaks the chains that binds us, and all of a sudden we become the people that God wants us to be. Forgiven sinners, saved by grace. Oh yeah. We can put aside that thing that so easily disturbs us. That's what Hebrews says. The sin that so easily beset us. It alludes to the fact that there's some sins that we seem to gravitate towards them. And he says, hey, that sin that comes, you know, you got to put your faith in the Lord. You need to bring the Lord into play so that you can push that back. But the Lord pushes it back through the word. You can't do it yourself. So discipleship will break the chains. And you will become the person, you will develop, enable you to become the person that you know you ought to be for the Lord. So this, no big deal if you're tempted. Just rebuke it by submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a process, and that comes as you and I develop a discipleship lifestyle, where we know that we didn't just make it. No, we're beginning. We process. It's a process. You know, it's a way of understanding that the penalty of sin has been taken care of by the blood of the Lord. No matter what you go through, you're not penalized for your sins because the Lord took that. But there's something called the power of sin, which continues to push you. But you and I have been liberated and be made free from the power of sin. And one day we're going to be liberated from the presence of sin. But we do know that the power of sin wants to rule us, but Jesus broke that for you and for me. We have been forgiven, the penalty is being taken care of, and the Lord has broken that power over your life and my life. You just need to invoke it. You need to walk in that power. So I conclude by reminding you that discipleship begins with belief. It begins with belief. I believe, Lord. Yes, you do. Then discipleship means that you're always in constant listening to the word of Jesus. Discipleship means that you're constantly learning from Jesus. Discipleship means that you are penetrating, meditating into the truth of Jesus. And it also means that you are constantly obeying the words of Jesus. That's what it means, discipleship. And then all of a sudden, you find that discipleship results in freedom. And there are four freedoms. Freedom from fear. Freedom from self. Freedom from other people. And freedom from sin. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. How is that for this week? In Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and for allowing us to understand and for allowing us to enter into a new dimension of life. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would in many ways deliver us from those things that so can easily entrap us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would help us understand that the call that you have us goes beyond the four walls of this church, and that you want us to live in freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.